This is The Midnight Club, a podcast for Athenas and Clydesdales and the rest of us that, when we come in last, it's still coming in first. Welcome back, Totally Oral Nation.
Totally
Wait,
Oral Nation. Wrong
which
podcast.
Which one are we on? Matrimony Rejects.
I'm hurt.
Ha ha ha. Wait, which one is this? Welcome to the Joe Rogan Show, where we're glad to be spending the next 3 hours with us.
And you just lost half of our friends.
Ha! Wait, because they're... Don't find it funny. They hate Joe Rogan, or...
You're not supposed to like Joe Rogan, even though he is funny.
Oh, wait, that's right. That guy.
Get with the program, dude.
He got canceled, or did the right embrace him? So like
the right embraced him. That was his problem. He's never claimed to be either.
Well, never mind all of that. What podcast?
Although he did move to Texas, but my sister moved to Texas.
And everyone was like, "No."
Feel like she's the most liberal.
And then he talked about shooting deer and didn't want the vaccine. And they're like, "Okay, you can stay." Right.
Okay, should we start again?
Yes, welcome back to the Midnight Club. I am your host, Clinton Scotton Timmerman.
Clearly, he's been busy with other podcasts. But here we are. We barely get any chances to do anything. I'm not Kelly.
You're not Kelly.
Yeah.
It's true.
We've made it back.
Who are you?
A shell of my former self.
And why is that, honey?
Because we have a little badger.
We do. You know, here's what I've realized.
And I have two jobs and a badger and a farm. E-I-E-I-O.
Well, you kind of have three jobs and maybe now a fourth. So check you out.
I know.
You're like Cousin Eddie was
married
wife.
Dennis, they said.
Good. That's the biggest joke of them all, isn't it?
But anyways, I digress. It's been a while. Feels good.
It's been a while. Since something, that song that you know. I don't know lyrics to songs. Isn't that a Stain song?
Yeah. The best lyric of that is, it's been a while since I've seen the way the candle lights your face. It's been a while, but I still remember just the way you taste. Like, why are you eating people?
You know, that's a question for the zombies in Florida that take bath salts and eat people. Next time we're there.
Or the zombies just, you know, at our work. So...
Yeah, so we have an office now in Marysville, and unfortunately, it's got a little covered area where the transients?
The houseless people, honey.
The houseless people find other places to find shelter, which, hey, people want shelter, but it's really tough when you're trying to run a medical-based business, and they're in the foyer area.
We got new cameras, and Clint
has a microphone.
Put the app on my phone, and my phone, I'm technologically a dinosaur, so I keep getting these alerts because I don't know how to shut them off. And so I just look this morning at like 5 o'clock, and there's this woman, you know, sleeping in our foyer. Is that a foyer?
I don't know. It's an entryway.
Foyer's inside.
Yeah, foyer being inside the entryway.
Yeah, yeah, the porch, the covered porch, and I didn't say anything because I was like, you know, it's a lady sleeping. She needs to sleep somewhere. And then she's still sleeping. And then I noticed a crack pipe. And then I noticed toilet paper. And then I noticed that she has...
Well, you noticed a lot more before I hopped on.
Yeah. I noticed that she had a shopping cart from Target, which is like 5 miles away. And then I noticed, because I finally... told Clint on his way to work, because I didn't want him to, you know, show up and startle her or her startle him. And when she got up, I noticed there was a big pee stain.
Very true. But I was able to radio, this is private property, please evacuate, and it's got a little alarm. So she got up and left, so hey, all's well that ends well. But you're right, I got there, I had to sweep up cigarette butts, throw away a lighter. Yep. And then a little hot water and Cavicide.
So, you know, if they just cleaned up, like, I feel like I'd have less of a problem with it.
Yes. It cleaned up after themselves, you mean?
Themselves.
Oh, sure.
And didn't pee on our porch.
That would be a start. That'd be a good way to start that. So anyway, this is an endurance athlete podcast, if you couldn't tell.
Wow. Here we go around the mulberry bush.
Yes. And what was it you wanted to talk about tonight?
Well, we have a couple things. It's been a hot minute. So you had Ironman Arizona that you weren't, there was no shot in hell you were going to finish this thing.
Right.
Yet hell froze over.
I don't know how and why. There is a catch. But I, I'm just full of excuses. But
did you go on a bus? Because you were missing for a few hours.
I didn't. But I, again, this is an excuse. We have a newborn child. And when I do have time to go on a jog, I've got it on.
I don't think we're allowed to say he's newborn anymore.
No, I had a newborn child last year.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would go on these runs. It's just, it's different. So when you go on a, and sometimes maybe it, there's important stuff going on. And so, you know, you want to be like, hey, babe, well, hey, I'm going to go on a, you know, half marathon, you know, at 6 o'clock. We'll be back at 8:30. Like, that just doesn't work. So you take the kid, you go running from 6 to 6:30. And then you realize, hey, I've only run 2 miles because that's all you could do pushing the kid. So, again, these are all excuses. Now, was it 2 Kona championships ago where the professional, she gave birth and then within a year came back and won the whole thing? So
yeah, she had a mental breakdown afterwards, though. She was just on Ritual.
Oh, geez. Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm just saying that, like, I'm sure someone like that laughed, like, that's cute, but I guess at the same time, it's her job. Whatever. I'm just saying life's changed, and I've done a poor job of adapting to it, and I only have myself to blame, and I'm working on it, but that was just the facts of the matter. And then we've already talked about Ironman Cozumel. Well, that's the Ironman Cozumel 70.3, how poorly that went. And you're talking about, okay, the full when you go to Arizona, and thinking, like, I didn't even finish. It's the first 70.3 I've never finished. I mean, regardless of all the circumstances, like, how the hell am I going to finish this Ironman Arizona?
Right.
And I found myself wanting, you know, weather delay or this or that. And, you know, none of that happened. They wouldn't give me a deferral. So I just was like, all right, here we go. Packed up the bike. Did everything business as usual. We got to...
Except for we had 2 kids in tow this time.
We took the baby. I think it's also a baby, right? We took the baby and we took Jack with us, and we checked into Ironman Scottsdale. So
Jack's our 14-year-old.
Jack's the 14-year-old. I will say the good thing about this is originally I had us staying at the A-Loft right by Ironman Village right across the river. But the thing is, a lot of times when you go to Ironman, at least for me, you check in, you kind of lounge around. You're focused on the race. You're not really doing a whole lot. I would say, as far as family-friendly destinations, the nice thing here is Scottsdale was, what, 15, 20 minutes away?
Yeah.
And so...
Perfect location.
I could, you know, check in. And you're not trying to, you know, overdo it, but if you go to the wave pool or if you go to, you know, do the water slides and stuff, it's a way to kind of stretch out but not overdo it. And the family's having fun because Jack, you know, usually it's drudgery whenever we've taken him to these events. And so at this time, he didn't mind it so much.
Well, and the Great Wolf Lodge was cheaper than the A-Loft, which is like the cheap hotel for Marriott. And you have a theme park. You have something to entertain the kids the entire time.
Yeah.
And it was ended up being what? Like one, how much a night?
A-Loft was going to be 180, and I want to say, was Great Wolf 130, 150, something like that?
Something like that. And here, you're going to pay like $400 a night to get in the
Yeah,
Seattle
when there's
area
nothing. So here in Washington State, the Great Wolf Lodge is in between Seattle and Portland. There's no other competing theme park or anything, and so they just price gouge the hell out of you.
So it's a way to go to the Great Wolf Lodge for less than half the price.
So in the Great Wolf Lodge, and it was fun. It was nice. And there were other – it's Arizona when it's very tolerable. We even on that Saturday went to down to Gilbert, and they had
a festival
that would have been July in Washington, and here we are in November, and there's different booths, and there was a cover band of
Tom Petty.
It was a Tom Petty cover band, and so it was just kind of like a chillaxing, wonderful time. You go to Old Town Scottsdale.
Yeah,
we've been
trip.
There when it's 120 degrees, and this is definitely a lot easier when it's like this. Now the Ironman Village. This happens every time you get there and you're like, oh, shoot, I should have brought this or I should have brought that. The thing I did not bring when I got there was, like, I don't have a wetsuit. And a lot of times for me, I overheat my wetsuits anyway. And so I'm always wondering, is the time I gain with the buoyancy worth it for the amount of time it takes to get the wetsuit off and then the amount of water that I lose. And then I'm like, shoot, I should have brought my, what are those pants called that I have from Xterra?
Your lava pants.
The lava pants. And I didn't have my lava pants, and there was the equivalent that they had.
And lava pants are just like, it's like a wetsuit.
It's like a wetsuit just from like the waist to like mid thigh.
Yeah.
So the idea is that you just get the buoyancy and it's still legal. And so they had their own set that wasn't Xterra, but they did have these pants.
Oh,
but
God.
The only size they had was size small. And hey, it stretches.
Quinn's
but
like 6'3", 350.
I weigh, did you say 350?
I'm kidding.
Jeez, no, I'm not quite. But I am the heaviest I've ever weighed. So I'm like, how am I going to pull this off? And let me tell you, when you talk about ball hugger, they're black pants, but by the time I got them on, it's gray because it's all stretched out.
I can't believe you wore
And I did realize when I got there.
I'm honestly surprised it didn't cut off all your circulation and then you just drowned.
That my balls just fell off. Well,
no, from the waist down.
And I did realize when I was looking down at the starting line that like it split a little bit. Different areas where like, you know, it was tension was too
Couldn't
tight. But I'm like,
anymore.
Hey, I'm gonna have this buoyancy. And I don't know if I even saw one other person that didn't have a wetsuit. So here's the thing, you're thinking Arizona, warm. No, the Arizona was still down. It would get down to like the 40s, and then the water itself there, the water actually is really cold. It was 65 degrees,
mm-hmm.
something like that. And I remember in Victoria, the water was 61 degrees, and I did have a full wetsuit, and I was cold. I was swimming, and I'm like, holy hell, this is cold. So I got everything ready. I met up with my good buddy, Michael Villacarlos.
I didn't get to see him. I'm kind of bummed about it.
Yeah, he's going through a tough time. So
I say hi.
I agree.
One of my favorite people.
I saw him only for about 15 minutes before the race, and then even race day.
Keep your eyes and ears open because he's on a fast track to Kona.
He is. I thought you were gonna say like, "Hey, ladies," because he's on a fast track to to watch The Bachelorette on TV, so you should join him at Dave and Buster's.
But no, I'm talking about Kona.
No, yeah, I know he's got three left.
Yeah.
So, day of the race, Mike picks me up, get to the race, get ready, get in the water. Now, usually, if I go swim in a pool, I can usually do the 2.4 miles anywhere from an hour 20, hour 30. I did like an hour 36 when I was in Maryland. Of course, the fastest time was Cozumel because you hit the current.
It just pushes you right along.
It's like 65, 70
minutes.
It gives
you that false hope that that's how the day is going to go.
It really does. It teases you. So I'm swimming here, and when I first jumped in, you get that like, holy crap, this is cold. But after a while, like, oh, it's refreshing, and it was kind of nice. But when I got out of the water, I realized it'd been 2 hours. Two freaking hours, and I'm like, you got to be shitting me. So,
and I see this, and when he left in the morning at the butt crack, not even, there was no crack of butts yet, middle of the night. I mean, I was under the impression that we maybe finish the swim here. We maybe be able to, I don't know, spend the day at the water park as a family by the end of it. And so when it took you over 2 hours, I was like, okay. We're just going to time out on the bike. You know what I mean? Like,
I do know what you mean. Because I'm like,
that was,
fuck,
that's
I wasn't
where I was. And
I've
I was
never
like,
expected
okay,
that.
I'm just going to continue on taking care of the children at this point. Because
And
no
even
way
me, I was
calling them to.
You were like, oh,
stop.
Transition. But I was like, no, I don't know if I can do this. I will see you by noon, most likely.
Yeah, and Clint's the most optimistic person. Like, he's realistic for time, but he's never like, there's no way. I've never heard you say, there is no way.
I feel like I've said that plenty of times.
No, I've heard you say, like, this might be hard or I might not be able to finish. I've never heard you say, like, there is no way I am finishing.
Oh, I definitely felt like that for this one. So I get on the bike, and for the first 5 miles and then 10 miles, like, hey, this is not bad at all. And by the way, they advertise this as the Valley of the PR. Like, really? Okay, you know, talk to people. They're like, that's not quite true, but okay. So you go out. It's three loops, and you go out for the first loop, and towards the end of it, you do go up pretty steeply, to get to the very where the turnaround point. So get to the turnaround point. Well, now you're coming downhill, right? Pretty cool. Well, then the winds pick up. And here's always the thing when you're slow. The more the day goes on, the winds pick up, the heat picks up. Mm-hmm. That's always the thing. Like, again, me making excuses, but the people that just are able to finish the swim faster, usually, you know, the water is calmer. They can get on the course. The wind hasn't picked up yet. So I, you know, I get down towards the end of the first loop, and then I get to the second loop, and I'm just like, shit, what the hell am I going to do? You know, like, am I going to actually finish this? So I have a tough time getting to the turnaround for the second loop. And then on my way down, you know, it's the kind of thing where you're pedaling, but you feel, you know, as soon as you, if you're going to stop pedaling, your bike just stops. And then I finally am able to see you landed in Jack by a convenience store. And, you know, I waved you, and I tried saying the, like, hey, I don't know if I'm going to make it for the third loop. So I get down to the turnaround. It is kind of cool, by the way, because when you get to the turnaround down in on it's the Salt River / Tempe Lake, you are right next to Sun Devil Stadium. And you know that there's been Super Bowls there and the Cardinals played there and the Sun Devils. And so, again, you get some historical significance as you're struggling and cursing and kind of wishing you were back at the Great Wolf Lodge. So I turn around. I come back up. I see you at the convenience store again, and I kind of wave, and I get trying to tell you, like, I don't know if I'm going to make this. And I just push on. And I think you know my magic number. It's 16 miles an hour. If I finish at 16 miles an hour, I know I can struggle on the run, and I'll be happy. Like, even if I just struggle, I should finish. And that's one of those things. I went from like 17 miles an hour to 16 and a half to 16. Now I'm sitting to get down the, you know, territory of like 15. I'm like, shit, this just is not going to happen. Well, I at least get to a point where if I'm on a long run, a long bike ride, whatever, where my hands are numb and I physically cannot really answer the telephone. Like, especially if I'm on a bike, all of a sudden I hear an alarm going off on my phone. And I'm like, what?
Oh, that was the run.
No. On the bike. So it's on the bike. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, okay, is Kelly calling? Someone calling? I know I have my phone on silent. And then I thought, no, that sounds like the lost iPhone. I don't know what's going on. Maybe somehow they're trying to find a different phone. It's pinging mine. Whatever. I just got to get to the end of this bike ride. So I get there and I finish the bike ride. And it's just before 5 p.m., and the guy's there, and he's like, I know you're exhausted. You wish you could take a longer break, but you need to get out of here. And I thought it was by 5 o'clock I had to get out of the tent, but it was 5:30. So, again, it's one of those, like, do I just contact Kelly and, hey, we're done? But then I'm like, all right, I'm just going to try to make it for the first mile. So put my stuff on, get my shoes on, and I go. And somehow I'm able to do my waddle. And then I'm able to do my waddle at like a 14-minute mile pace. Usually on these Ironmans, I'm going. And by the way, I don't. There's for me. There's no, oh, make it up on the run. Oh, you finish an hour slower on the bike. Oh, just make it up on the run. Nuh-uh. That's not how this works for me ever. Well, I start going and I'm like in a 14-minute mile pace. You know, mile one becomes two. Like, I don't know what the hell is happening. I'm just going to just keep going. So I did my thing where I stop at every aid. Well, I walk at every aid station, you know, power walk, grab the food, grab whatever they have, and then just keep going. And at this point, you know, the sun's setting. So I'm doing better. It's not. And here's the biggest thing I loved about this race. Wasn't really hot. No heat. It was awesome. So I keep going. And you come back and you kind of do this like U shape around the Tempe Lake on the Salt River, and you go to the other side. And this whole time I'm thinking, like, I bet Kelly's like, how the hell are you doing this? How are you accomplishing this? I don't know how I'm doing it. It wasn't until I got to almost mile 18 that I finally like walked, other than like the aid stations. Like, again, extremely uncharacteristic of me. And so finally I hear this thing going off on my phone again, and so I'm like, all right, you know what, I'm just going to keep power walking. I pick up the phone and I'm like, hey, how's it going? And you go, are you dead? And I thought you meant because, like, yeah, you've been hitting this Ironman. And I'm like, oh, well, yeah, I feel like it. I wish. And they're like, no, really, are you dead? And I'm like, wait, what? And you said, what, mile 75 on the bike? Mm-hmm.
This fucker had been missing for hours. Parents are involved. Race director is now involved. I got the police involved because His tracker is not tracking him on the app. He's not answering his phone. He's just gone missing. The kids, I have two, one kid that just doesn't want to be there, and the other kid's very small, and we're just driving around trying to find him. Cannot find you anywhere. Anywhere. And while this is, course is extremely small compared to any other.
It's almost all around Lake Tempe.
Yeah, or but Tempe you can't Lake. Get there. Because, yeah. I mean, mind you, I have like a one-year-old and a child with disabilities. Like,
right.
There's no walking 5 miles to get somewhere. And so we're just trying to like figure out where you're at without any way to figure out where you're at.
Yeah, which I get would be scary, especially if, like, hey, if you're a, you know, Clydesdale / Chungus like me, you're probably thinking I, like, fell in a ditch, and then I'm
well,
just
and
like...
Well, and it showed that you didn't even check in for transition two, so I'm thinking, yeah, you're on your bike somewhere. I found a police officer, and he was like, well, if he was on his bike, they would have, you know, taken him in a long time ago, but nobody had called. Anyways, I was freaked out.
Would you be pissed if you're like, I just rode my bike back to Great Wolf Lodge and I'm just on the tornado and I'm like, Jack won't do the tornado, so I'm doing the tornado.
I mean, I was happy that you were safe, but it was a
yeah, and you gone back to the Great Wolf Lodge and I'm like, well, hey, I should be able to hit it this time. And you're like, all right, we'll get down there.
Yeah. So
and it was one of those where like, hey, you have to get to this cutoff point at, you know, 10:45, and I got to this cutoff point at 10:20, and then okay, you have to get this next one at you know 11:15, and then like you know midnight, and there ended up being this lady who, I think she was like 65 plus, and she's hitting it hard, and it was funny because her daughter-in-law then paced her for part of the way, and she's like, "This is my first full, and it's gonna be my only full," and the excuse me, and the daughter-in-law. She'd done Lake Placid, but I think she just did one, and then she really liked cycling and didn't you know want to do any more after that. I think between the three disciplines, I'm like, hey, you guys should team up and do a relay. So I ended up just kind of hanging out with them all the way to the finish line. And when you get to the point where like, you know, you're like, hey, I'm gonna finish this thing. Here's the thing though, I've tried so hard on my watch. It'll give you the time of whatever modality. Like, I will know when I'm on my swim, how long my swim's going. I'll know how long my transition's going in transition. I'll know how long my bike's going on my bike. My watch will not give me overall time until I'm done. So, I finish this whole thing. You go through the shoot. They actually have sparklers, flame thingy-majiggers. Like,
yeah,
yay.
Cool.
It's awesome. And so I cross, and then you get the medal and everything. Then I go, and I'm like, hey, my chip didn't work and everything. So I gave him the chip, and then I hit stop. And I was waiting to do this on the broadcast to tell you this. And then I looked down, and my overall time was 17 hours and 4 minutes.
Stop it.
17:04.
Stop it.
And then I find out, because this is the Valley of the PR, fuck the slow people. The actual time to finish this particular Ironman is 16 and a half hours.
Stop
so I didn't miss it.
It
by 4 minutes. I missed it by 34 minutes. And I'm like,
what about that asshole that said you were an Ironman?
I know. That's what was just like, what the shit?
Oh, honey.
So,
no way. You've kept this secret the whole time?
I was waiting for the
well,
for the podcast.
A bitch move. I'm your wife.
You'll just wait till what else? Other things have been hiding, hun. Have you looked under the house? You ever wanted to see, don't see Harvey anymore? No. no, cause, and I also just kind of like had to sit with it. Like, how do I feel about that? And like, okay. And it missed it by 4 minutes. It missed by 34.
What?
Here's the thing. I still feel.
But you started. The thing I don't understand about Ironman is you have your rolling starts. And I feel like they give you the 17 hours. But I honestly feel like the people that are later get. Somehow just shafted in the end.
Oh, they do. They totally do. I mean, the whole thing, it sucks. And here's the thing. This is what I really, on behalf of Christian Blumenfeld, you know, when I finished Ironman Cozumel.
When he was getting his medal?
When you, I'm going to start in the run. Yes, that one. No, he had the fastest known time for an Ironman, but they said, well, because the conditions were just right that day, we're not going to count it because it was extra fast. But then.
That's the stupidest thing.
But they'll take it away. Then they're like, well, we're going to shorten it for the.
Or what about all the people that can't finish a swim?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Whenever you do, the, like, hey, because of the current, you know, this person really ran, you know, 3 miles instead of 2.4. Well, that's just how it is. So I feel like it's a huge, huge double standard and it's such bullshit. Because I feel like at least with 4 minutes, and had I like, I feel like over the course of the, if it, you know, like, hey, it's 4 minutes, that's when you really like sack up and try to haul ass as much. Because the whole time I kept thinking I was actually ahead by like, when we finished, I had like what, an extra.
I felt like you had like
12,
another
15.
Yeah.
So I had, I thought I had that buffer when I was finishing. So. I don't know, but at the same time, I feel I do feel
well,
like.
Well, that's the thing. They were still calling you are an Ironman, and after it gets timed out, they just say your name and your where you're from.
Right.
That's what they've always
really?
Done.
Okay.
As somebody
well,
who's
so
at the finish
me,
line,
I
at midnight.
I feel like I finished because I did finish it. I did
you
the
did
whole
finish
thing.
It.
I did the course. Probably not quite quote unquote on time. And again, here's the thing I'm trying to tell myself. I had no business being there. I was not prepared.
Yeah.
And, okay, you know, c'est la vie. And so it's just like I – now here's another thing that does suck. It doesn't count towards the Kona, you know, like for the total, like
– fuck Kona. I'm starting to really sour on Iron Man altogether. Hopefully we don't need them as a sponsor.
Yeah, the OGs, you know, when they were like, hey, they had 24 hours at first. No, I mean, I just got to try to – I mean – you know, the people that are like, hey, today I didn't finish in 12 hours. I finished in 13. Boo-hoo. Like, I need to be in that range. So, like, slow for me isn't, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's always, for me, it's always like, hey, I'm either going to, you know, where am I going to fall inside of finishing or not? I guess the two that I have finished, I still had an hour to spare.
I still think you finished this. This is ridiculous. The thing, and this another beef I have with Iron Man, like, when you're slow in the pack, you're still paying the same amount. You usually run out of fucking food, sometimes water. And then at the end, like
every
maybe,
year in Mexico,
maybe you get something, yeah. Maybe you don't. When you're paying the grand and you could have just done the goddamn course yourself. If you're not
this
even
is very
like
true. This
getting
is very
any
true.
Perk out of it, like fuck them.
Yeah. No, I know.
They even run out of t-shirts.
So there's the. So there's kind of just a theme where, like, there's a lot of things that I feel like it's like, hey, finishing just short. There's so many things that, like, oh, just finish just short of that. And it's one of those, like, hey, it's just, it's life. You know, you just take it in and you're, you know, like, the Seahawks, you know, they threw a pass on the 1 yard line when they should have run it. And they had a timeout and it was, you know, second down and it didn't work out. And so you just, you got to. Got to roll with the punches, and it hopefully just makes the next accomplishment that much sweeter. But, yeah, again, just like you said, you thought after the swim, say this is the first I've heard this, you thought, well, you know, we'll be back at Great Wolf Lodge
I
by
mean,
noon.
You've never taken that long for a swim, so I just assumed.
No, even with my ball hugger floaty pants. What's really weird, though, is other people on the lady I was at, she
God,
was like,
I
hey, I had a slower swim than normal. And then everybody's like, well, why do we have such a slow, like, and trying to figure out why would, it wasn't like we were going against a current.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's how cold it was or whatever, but this is more just not as a, that's why. I'm pointing fingers, more of a curiosity of like, you know, like Ross Edgley, has he? He swam in cold waters around Great Britain, but when he practiced in the Caribbean, does he feel like, hey, I go faster through warmer waters? Just like more the science of it. Just kind of got me curious. So
I don't know.
We'll pause. So there you have Iron Man Arizona.
Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. And there you have Betty White.
Yeah, our sommelier.
Should we chance letting her out in the backyard?
Sure, do it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a very large gated backyard that she somehow digs out of every single time we let her out. But she's going to continue to bark if we don't.
Would you be that sad if she ran away?
Yes.
I'm just visualizing that she runs away and she'll find her own kind, find reindeer
to chase.
That bitch
would be eaten by something within 30 minutes. We live in the woods.
True, true. But, you know, at least you'll get an adventure out of it.
It's true.
So, Kelly, what is next on the...
No. Okay, real quick. So, how do you feel about it?
Well, that's what I was just saying. Like, I feel better. I do feel better than Iron Man Cozumel, 70.3.
This whole time, I thought this fucker skated in 15 minutes under the gun. Like, real Christmas miracle.
I did a... Well, yeah, and so now I got to just break your heart.
No, I mean, you work just as hard. Like, it doesn't take away from the fact that you...
It sucks. That part 100% sucks. I do feel better than I... Just 2 months previous when I couldn't finish the 70.3.
I feel like when you... You make the time, which is so just an abstract thing, but like it makes like trying to get home the next day a little bit more worthwhile. You know what I mean? Because like you were hurting and you like couldn't move and we had kids and lots of luggage.
Success does taste better than defeat, sure. I'm sure that Washington Husky football team flying back to Seattle right now, like, it'd be a different mood if they had won the thing, you know, against Michigan rather than losing. So, yeah, and we've all been there before. You know, I know you played soccer and whatnot. Like, when you have that victory, like, that cold dinner that you eat that night, like, just tastes awesome. And when you lose, you're like, oh, this is the worst taste in food. Everything, you know, but I didn't feel, it wasn't like the other times when I wasn't able to finish. I definitely feel better about that. So I think it's just a fact that like I still one finished the course. Mm. I still did it.
Yeah.
And then again, I shouldn't have.
You weren't dead in a ditch, so that made me happy.
That's true too. I should not have finished. That's what I don't get. I mean, just a mere, what was that, 6 weeks prior? Like I didn't finish a 70.3. Right now, I don't think I could finish
a
sprint.
Six miles, but yeah.
True.
Did you ever listen to your voicemails from that night? When I'm like, fuck you.
Oh, yeah. You're,
like, if you were alive, fuck you. It went from like, I'm so worried about you. I think I'm calling this
person.
Well,
at least now you understand.
Please call me to... Fuck you.
There are other people that have the same problem. Now you can know that, oh, maybe his chip isn't working, rather than maybe he's dead or being an asshole.
My mom went on like, she was going to call in the National
Guard. Here's another weird thing too. I turned the location services on my phone.
It wasn't working.
So you could have, we have Life 360 and the Find My iPhone, Find My People. You know, they combined it in Apple. It's just called Find My
Husband Cheating.
And by cheating, it's, you know, some guy in a unitard walking around a lake trying to finish a race in 17 hours or whatever. which is, side note, I think you hopefully know me enough by now when I'm like, you know, I go to some new city where I'm like, oh, it's been great. I'm going around an e-scooter, went around, found a place that had French fries open until 3, like, uh-huh. And then when you realize... Oh, I think it really is taking an e-scooter, looking at architecture, eating French fries in the middle of the night. Like, so, yeah. Or running through, you know, Tempe, Arizona in the middle of the night. Where was I going with this? How I feel? Yeah, no, I feel good. Does it feel as good as when you know you did under the 17 hours? Well, in this case, 16 and a half. You don't know, but I'm still doing all right.
I mean, I'm still very proud of you.
Well, thank you. So what's next on the docket, Kelly?
Well, in 9 days, we have a 50K in Kauai.
And here's my question. We have the option of a half marathon, a marathon, or a 50K. Based on where we're both at, why are we doing the 50K?
Because when I signed up for it, I thought we'd be better people.
Can we change?
I don't know.
Because, again, I saw cutoffs on this were like 8.5 hours, where it's like, well, do I try to do the half marathon on time? Or, like, do I just, or again, fuck it. You just go out, give it your best, and fuck it.
Just give your best and fuck it.
Yogi Berra said
that. The fun part, we're flying in the night before, because it's like a series. And I'm like, okay, we can do the first day. We have very limited time these days.
And where's this at?
It's in Kauai.
Kauai, Hawaii.
Yeah. At a park. And it's just a loop, which is kind of cool. I appreciate a loop. But
hopefully we have enough aid stations then.
I think they said aid stations every 2.2 miles.
Especially in a loop. You hope they're not like, yeah. Again, hope they're not like, well, it's been 6 hours. Let's shut them all down. Again, fuck the slow people. We've had that.
True. But here's the fun part. So we're flying in. I'm like, hotels are very expensive. So we get in at like midnight. I think the start time's like 4:30 in the morning. We'll sleep in the car. So
yeah, I kind of forgot that until just
now.
We're
going to drive to the park and sleep in the car. What's funny is the hotel that we're staying at sent me a thing. And it was like, ooh, half off if you want to like add nights.
Huh. See, Kelly, I think she's heard enough stories of me and my brother where we've done this, where we've driven through the night. Like,
and I've always said, that's crazy.
And like, oh, you know, why check into a hotel at 5 a.m.? Like, screw it, just nap for a few hours. We'll go do whatever, and then we'll get in a hotel later. And then here we are.
So, yeah, we have that.
Giddy up.
We might be flying to Molokai the next day.
Maybe Molokai, and then we have... I thought there was something else you want. Well, you wanted to do a, what was it called? Like 75 soft challenge.
Oh, yes. So we got fat, like real fat. And the baby's now one. So there's no excuses other than the fact that we still have the same amount of stress, the same amount of non-sleep. Like this baby doesn't sleep. It's really something.
It's true.
But we need to do something. Because we can't
do something.
We can't be our best selves. We can't keep doing what we're doing.
It's true.
So we decided to do a challenge. So there's the 75 hard. I'm sure everybody's heard of it. It's Andy Fuzzle.
It's a good guy.
Who started it? It's Andy. I'm gonna
ruin Andy
it.
Cohen.
No, here, talk.
Scott Summers from Double Dare. Remember that guy? I think he started it. So what it is you, instead of the 75 hard, you can drink on social occasions, such as going to Hawaii. You're supposed to still read 10 minutes a day.
Andy Frisella.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's kind of a douche. He has
a douche
podcast. I hope he hears this. But he started a movement, so mad respect.
Yeah, in this case, you go 45 minutes a day of exercise and then one active rest day.
So the hard is like 2 45-minute exercise sessions. One has to be outside. You drink. I can pull up the rules.
That one, for the hard, is no alcohol, like no sugar.
At all.
I think everything's taken suppositorily.
Yeah.
And then.
And then you pick like a meal, like eating plan, and you get no cheat days. This one, you get one. With the 75 hard, if you skip a day, you have to start over. So 75 hard is 1 gallon of water a day, 2 45-minute workout sessions a day, reading 10 pages of like self-help shit every day, and take a progress photo every day. The 75 soft.
Take a what photo?
Progress photo every day.
I thought there was no progress photo. Oh, that's the hard.
Yeah. So the soft, you don't have to take the progress photo if you don't want to. You still have to read every day, which is gonna be huge for you.
Wait, what's that
one
mean?
Daily. You said you haven't read an actual book in like years.
I've started several books. Are you talking about start to finish, like a novel?
Yeah.
I tend to start, and I start another, and I start another. It's my ADHD that's gotten worse.
Okay, well, maybe get on meds, and let's do this. So, Clint
decided to go. It didn't say what I could read.
Keto,
I mean,
and he's doing super good. I caught him with caramel in his mouth tonight.
No, but that was carb-free. It was cardboard covered in cocoa powder.
He did get corn tortillas today, though, so I'm proud of him.
Mm.
And I do most of the cooking in this house, so I can make sure that at least what I feed you is keto friendly.
Keto friendly, yeah.
And I'm just going to count my calories and stay vegetarian.
That's true. That's good. That's a good plan.
Yeah.
I don't think we have anything else planned other than, are we still shooting for the relay in Panama City Beach?
I think
you
signed us up for it.
Okay. Kelly's planning
on the
relay.
I feel like that has to be like kind of our thing since we got engaged there and the Badger's done it in my belly.
It's true. That's what I... And we're thinking the big kids, again, would like this because there's stuff to do. And if we do it, we're going to have to do this as a relay so one of us can be with the kids.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to do the bike...
Oh, the my fastest time ever on a bike, I did like 19 and a half miles an hour, something like that. I'll do the swim, or if you want to do the swim.
I'll do the run.
I'll do the bike. Kelly will do the run.
Yeah, I'm sorry we sound like shit. We have COVID.
Yeah, we're fighting a bug, but not COVID. We tested.
Oh, we have COVID. Every single person around us has COVID. We all have the same symptoms.
We had a false positive or false negative.
We have COVID. I called into work, which I never do. I think I've done like maybe twice in like the 5 years we've been together.
I don't know you ever doing it. No.
And my boss is like, hey, I subbed your cycling class yesterday. Everybody was awesome. None of them really liked football. And I'm like, fuck, she thinks that I fucking called in because of the Husky game.
Oh, does she not know that you don't give a shit?
I know. I was like, guess what? Neither do I.
Did you text her that?
I did. But
and you can't show her a positive text because it didn't show up.
I could see how she could think like it was a very big game. Yeah. And she knows I, you know, went to UW. But like, I could give zero shits about football. Poor guy. My husband loves football. And his ex-wife loved football with him.
Is that what this is about?
What?
I love football way before I even met my ex-wife.
No, I know, but it
your ex-husband loves football.
No, he doesn't.
He watches all the games. Every time, like,
he pretends to.
Anyway, so now you're like, oh, I'm a hockey person. You only do hockey. And only, like,
I love hockey. I actually
but wait,
really
but wait,
like
is this
hockey.
Only because, like, oh, I won't do it because it's like, this is reminds me of, doesn't remind, football does not remind me of Megan. You know what football reminds me of? Football and me. I have more of a. Like,
no, I know. No, I'm just saying you went from a household where it was like a, probably.
Sure,
a
but every night you'll
like,
mention that. So I'm like, wait, I hope this isn't like, you're like. I'm like, okay, ice curling. I'll do ice curling with him because I don't think he and Megan did that. So I'll do ice curling.
No, not at all. No. No, I actually really enjoy hockey. I consider myself a hockey fan, which I never did
before
you.
Quick tidbit. What did you think of the Winter Classic?
I loved it.
And what did you think ahead of time?
I didn't think it was going to be that cool. And I don't know. I don't want to know how much you paid for our tickets.
Okay.
Actually, I kind of do. How much did you pay for our tickets?
They were about $220 a piece.
Okay, that's less than I thought. Oh, but it was
because I was able to. Well, actually, and here's the caveat to that though, because I'm a half season ticket holder, I could pick wherever. And I'm like, so if people don't know, the Winter Classic is usually they pick like a football or baseball stadium, they put an ice rink there, and a lot of times sight lines are shit. So I thought, like, are we gonna be able to see anything on the first level? So I purposely picked the third level, the 300 level, but towards the front of it. And we could actually see everything.
It was awesome.
And according to some of my friends of mine in Chicago, that they went to Wrigley Field, they were down, like, their sight lines were shit. They were on 100 level. So, like, they love the atmosphere, but they couldn't see anything. But for this, I just thought, like, okay, the novelty is going to wear off in 10 minutes. This is going to be crap. But I thought the NHL did a great job of decorating everything at
like the whole field.
Yeah, all of T-Mobile Park, and then they even had like a little mini ice rink. So during the intermissions,
like,
you know,
the
kids were doing hockey and stuff. And then there's a brewery across the street. Unfortunately, Pyramid Ale House was a COVID victim. But then there was a it's actually an African American owned brewery that came in. They're called Hat Backwards Brewery, and there's a stage behind. So Head and the Heart played ahead of time.
Yeah.
So we got some food. We saw one of my favorite bands, and then we go in, and then. Sir Mix-a-Lot. Well, one, okay. Actually, they had this kid that came out and did the national anthem, and he just shredded it. Yeah. We actually had a clear day, rare clear day, sunny day in Seattle. If it was pissing rain, it would have been
different.
Yeah.
Situation if it was pissing rain.
So it was a gorgeous, beautiful day. Great sight line. Sir Mix-a-Lot. And people were like, this is the most Seattle thing. So as the Seattle players are coming out, Sir Mix-a-Lot is is singing. They come out, and then they had the fisher, or the people that throw fish at Pike Place, throwing actual dead fish over them as they're coming to the ice. And then Hart played the first intermission,
which was rad. You were getting food.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. And so it was just a great day. And the Kraken won 3-0. They had these throwback uniforms. And so
and
it was great.
Afterwards, they had fits in the tantrums. We didn't stay because we had to get back to the kids and my sister was visiting. But I mean, if you think about seeing these tidbit concerts of these huge bands alone, like, that's worth the price.
Yeah, it was great. And then even the second intermission, they had Seattle sports, you know, Seattle sports icons over the years that came out. And it's the kind of thing that, like, I could see this being, like, it'd be cool if they did this once a year or once every other year. This is one of those things that, like, we might get it only once every 10 to 20 years, which makes it even more special. But, like, I'd be cool if it just yearly we had a chance to go outside hockey.
I still like to call out my claim to fame because Edgar Martinez came out. And, you know, I realize it's been decades and decades. But I'm still like, sorry for TPing your house in high school, man.
Yep. He lived in near us. I always like going there because they gave
it the full-size candy bars.
The candy bars and had a very aesthetically pleasing wife.
Yes.
And you liked him because you could TP him. And
we TP'd his house. This thankfully was before cameras mostly.
Yeah, no kidding.
And he just lived in Corson Ranch, which is like a super nice neighborhood in Bridal Trails, which is like horse mecca for Kirkland by Lake Washington. And but it didn't, you know, there's no gate. Any riffraff could come
in,
like us high school kids and TP your house.
I'm sure Ken Griffey Jr. down at Issaquah probably had more protective measures in his property, you know, more cameras and fences and stuff.
But yeah, I saw him and I was like, sorry, man.
You should write him a formal apology.
I should. And then he probably would get me arrested.
He probably would. And would I bail you out? It remains
maybe
to be seen. Yeah. Well, does that do it for tonight, Kelly?
Probably. I mean, we should probably, one, start doing this more often. Two, we should, like, hold some accountability to ourselves. Like, should we, I don't know, come up with a bet or something? Like,
oh, and then when we follow up on the podcast,
yeah,
do we do it?
Like,
do we not do it?
Most percentage weight lost?
That's a good question. I don't, let me think about that and get back to the next podcast. But no, that's a good idea.
How about the person who wins.
Wins what?
I don't know.
So let's think on this. We'll think of our challenge.
Okay.
And we'll come back again. And we'll go over it. And then we'll track our progress.
All right, but challenge starts has to start tomorrow because you ate a bunch of fucking caramels.
It was cardboard and cocoa powder.
Okay. So 75 soft.
75 soft. You want to find us? You can find us on My Midnight Club on Instagram, on Facebook. You can email Kelly at notkelly@mymidnightclub.com. I'm Clinton at mymidnightclub.com. Thank you for listening, Mike Dipple. We love you. Till next time, I'm Clinton Timmerman.
I'm not Kelly.
She's not Kelly.